coming up next on Your World.
After you discovered the truth, nobody volunteered that information. Mm-mm. What was the process you had to go through to finally get the truth?
Well, I think I was trying to heal. And I kind of knew, like I had kind of put two and two together, because around maybe 8 or 9 years old, my dad began to change. He had like a earring in his ear. He began to lose a little weight. You know, he had a little swag now. And I'm like, okay, daddy, what's going on? But still, I was young. I still didn't know. And so when I look back, I'm like, oh, okay, this is probably when he was just like completely in that lifestyle, because he wasn't at home a lot. But again, he's here, she's up here, we're still in the same house. And on the outside, we're the perfect family. I'm little Alicia. They do music, they write songs, we travel the world, we're great. But inside the house, it is a hot mess. It is a disaster.
So you had the appearance of a family that's close and doing all these things.
Yes.
But there was
another. They wrote songs together, produced together, we traveled together. I mean, it was their show. For a long time, I really thought that God just didn't love me. Mm. It just seemed like whoever loved me, they were going to die. Mm. It wasn't just my mom and dad that I had lost. I had lost a few aunts, my godmom. And so I had this mindset that if you love me, you're going to die. So I found myself trying to put up, you know, just kind of like a wall, you know, with those who did, and not knowing how to receive it. Because in my mind, I'm like, why is all this bad stuff happening? Because when I would look around, my friends, they had their moms and dads, everybody was happy. And I'm looking at my life like, wait, what's going on? Like, this is not like what I see. I had been so hurt. When you lose both your mom and your dad and you're an only child, on top of that, it's almost like my world is not here anymore. You know, the people that I've known my whole life that love me are not here anymore. And now I felt alone a lot.
Changing one life, time after time. Oh Lord, we do it all for you.
Through the trials I see.
Welcome. Hello, I'm Creflo Dollar, and welcome to a very special episode of Your World. Now, today, we're going to talk about family secrets. I think it's safe to say that all families have secrets, but the type of secrets kept are what really makes the difference, right? Now, if you're planning a surprise trip for the family to the Grand Canyon, well, that's a harmless secret. But there are some family secrets that are so traumatic, so life-altering, that it can take years for that family to recover once those secrets are revealed. You know, people often keep secrets from their loved ones in an effort to avoid causing them pain, but that can, and often does, backfire. Revealing long-kept secrets can destroy relationships, cause suspicion, resentment, and deep trust issues, and can cause people to question their own sense of reality. They often wonder what is real and what other secrets their families might be keeping from them. My guest today always knew that her family life was confusing when she was growing up, but she never suspected the secret that would ultimately claim the lives of both her mother and her father. And once she learned the truth, it was too late to talk to them. It was too late to ask questions or even to tell them she forgives them. Now, I want you to stay right where you are, because today we're going to talk to a courageous lady who has suffered great loss and who has a message to share with you about how important it is that families get real with each other and stop hiding the truth. Because, as we all know, the truth always comes out in the end. That's what we're talking about today, right here, right now, on your world. Welcome back. Now, my guest today is Alicia Watson. Now, Alicia's family kept a secret that ended up taking the lives of both of her parents by the time she was just 15 years old. Today, Alicia is going to share her story with us and tell us of the long-lasting ramifications of keeping secrets within a family. Alicia, welcome to your world.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you so much for
coming. Thank you for having me.
You know, when I was thinking about, you know, what you've experienced and thinking about what the show is going to be about today, one of the things I want to make sure that our television audience understands is that this is pretty serious. We're not talking about keeping a secret about a surprise birthday party.
No.
There are serious ramifications and consequences for deep family secrets that they have consequences. And number one, the first thing a family secret will do, it will destroy relationships. A communication breakdown, bonds that were established within relationships may not be able to be rectified and fixed. Number two, keeping horrific family secrets will impact children, especially if somehow, some way, they feel responsible.
Exactly.
The third thing that we look at is when you keep a family secret, it'll be the cause for suspicion and resentment. Now, there's really no reason why you should think that this family member is lying to me. I mean, you're thinking they're going to be honest, they're truthful. But when you find out that that trust has been violated, especially protected within a lie, then that's serious business there. The fourth thing that happens when you keep these type of family secrets, it alters your reality. I mean, most of the thing a kid learns, he learns from an adult. And when he hears about this thing, his reality changes from what he thought to what he just heard. And, you know, if you're not careful, he may repeat that same cycle of keeping family secrets over and over again. And then the fifth thing is keeping those family secrets, they cause illness. And family secrets divide. It puts a division between those who know or knew and those who didn't know. Now, in light of all that, can you relate with one or two or several of those?
I can relate to all of them.
Wow.
Actually, my big family secret was that my dad had an affair with a priest that was in our church when I was younger. Through that, was able to get HIV, which later turned into full-blown AIDS. And so that was a secret that my family didn't really know how to talk about. No one really knew how to deal with that. And so I didn't really know the exact truth until I was about 25 years old.
Mm-hmm. So when your father died, you were 10,
I was
right?
10.
And what were you told as far as
I was
the
told
cause
that
of the death?
He had cancer. Mm-hmm. You know, around that time, that's when it got really huge and it seemed like everybody was dying from cancer. So I'm like, oh, my dad has cancer. He was sick. He was in and out of the hospital. And so, you know, I'm 10. So I'm like, okay. You know, he had that. In my mind, I think I knew that something was wrong because maybe around 4 or 5 years old, my mom and dad really didn't sleep in the same room anymore. She was up here. He was down here. They used to, you know, fuss. They used to argue. And so I knew that something wasn't right, but I was still a child. So I really didn't know what it was. And so, like I said, I didn't really find out the exact truth until I was about 25 years old. And that came from me actually having to go to someone and say, hey, what happened?
Wow. So at 10, your father died. You were told it was because of cancer. Mm-hmm. And then 5 years later, what happens?
Well, we came home. I think we had just moved to Atlanta maybe a couple of months ago. And that was kind of like a surprise. She had told me that we might be moving to Atlanta, but when we got to Atlanta, she was like, oh, we're staying here. And she called some people to pack up our house and sell it. So that was that. So we're driving home and we're in the car and she's like, Alicia, I have something to tell you. And she pulls into, you know, the driveway. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Hey, mom, you know, what's up? And she's like, I have that disease. And I was like, oh, you mean, you know, the big C, you know, cancer. You know, because, again, around that time, it just seemed like a lot of people had it, you know, et cetera. That's okay, mommy. You know, you're going to get past that. And she's like, no, I have AIDS. And so I just looked at her. Then I got out of the car, and I went to the bedroom, and I just cried. I mean, I cried my eyes out. And I could hear my grandmother saying, why'd you tell her? She's too young. She doesn't need to know that. Esther, why'd you tell her that? And I didn't know a lot about the disease, but I knew that you got it pretty much if you were doing certain things. So around that time, I was still like, okay, where's my mama? Like, what? Like, I still was trying to put two and two together. But that was a really rough day for me because I didn't know how to deal with it. And I didn't know how to talk to her, you know, as well, because the next thing I had was, well, do I have it? Like, am I going to die too? Like, you know, is there something you want to tell me about that? And so the way that she was able to deal with it, she just really like closed up. Like before my mother was sick, she would be singing on a piano. She loved music. After she got sick, she didn't sing anymore. She didn't play anymore. It was just kind of like, I'm here. Exactly around 5 years. I was 14 at the time. And so it was 5 days before I turned 15. And so on that day she passed and her funeral was held on my 15th birthday. Oh. I buried my mother on my birthday.
And what was the cause of her death?
Full-blown AIDS.
Oh, so in your mind at that time, your father's died at 10 of cancer.
Of cancer.
Your mother died when you were around on your birthday, your 15th birthday, of full-blown AIDS. And I'm sure at that time you're trying to figure out, okay, what's going on here?
Yes, I was trying to put it together. I was like, okay, were they doing drugs? Like, what was going on? And so, again, I finally found out that while my mom and dad were together, my dad, I guess, was what you would say was on the down low. Uh-huh. And so he was having relations with men, and they didn't want to get a divorce because of me. They loved me. They didn't know who was going to have me, you know, that sort of thing. So they decided to stay in the same house for me, which, of course, I didn't know.
Were you ever told that the only reason we stayed together was because of you?
My dad actually did. Before he died, he told me that.
After you discovered the truth, nobody volunteered that information.
Mm-mm.
What was the process you had to go through to finally get the truth?
Well, I think I was trying to heal. And I kind of knew, like, I had kind of put two and two together because around maybe 8 or 9 years old, my dad began to change. He had, like, a earring in his ear. He began to lose a little weight. You know, he had a little swag now. And I'm like, okay, Daddy, what's going on? But still, I was young. I still didn't know. And so when I look back, I'm like, oh, okay, this is probably when he was just, like, completely in that lifestyle because he wasn't at home a lot. But again, he's here, she's up here, we're still in the same house. And on the outside, we're the perfect family. I'm little Alicia. They do music. They write songs. We travel the world. We're great. But inside the house, it is a hot mess. It is a disaster.
So you had the appearance of a
yes.
family that's close and doing all these things.
Yes.
But there was
They wrote songs together, produced together. We traveled together. I mean, it was their show, you know.
You know, not only that. I heard that at the age of one, you were actually blessed by Pope John Paul.
I was. My dad was very well known in the Catholic Church, and he wrote a mass. And I don't know how it got to Rome. I don't know if he sent it, but the Pope was like, I like your mass. I'm flying your choir, and we're going to Rome. And so we went to Rome. I was around 1 year old. And so he saw me there. He was like, who's that? And my dad was like, well, that's my daughter. He's like, well, can I hold her? I think for me, that was the first sign of God just allowing me to know I have my hand on you.
You know, and actually after finding out this family secret, and knowing that that experience took place with the Pope, How'd you feel about that you were blessed by the Pope and yet all this stuff happens and you lose your mom at 10, you lose your dad at 15, you find out this big traumatic issue that was in the family the whole time. I'm sure it altered your reality big time.
It did. For a long time, I really thought that God just didn't love me. It just seemed like whoever loved me, they were going to die. It wasn't just my mom and dad that I had lost. I had lost a few aunts, my godmom. And so I had this mindset that if you love me, you're going to die. So I found myself trying to put up, you know, just kind of like a wall, you know, with those who did and not knowing how to receive it. Because in my mind, I'm like, why is all this bad stuff happening? Because when I would look around, my friends, they had their moms and dads. Everybody was happy. And I'm looking at my life like, wait, what's going on? Like, this is not like what I see.
Were there times in your life where maybe your attitude changed, where you like, you found yourself, you know, acting a little mean and a little frustrated?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
When my mother was sick, I was mean. Like, I wore all black. I was just in a bad mood. And so when it was time for me to go to the hospital to see her, my family would have to bribe me to go. They thought it was because I just didn't like her, but I was just mad. I was mad at the world that all this bad stuff had took place. I was mad that we had to move to this new place in this house with all these people. I was just mad. And so at that time in my life, I didn't know how to say, I'm hurting. You know, I think that a lot of people just assume that I was okay. They just assumed that I knew how to deal with this. And that was probably the biggest misassumption they could have ever assumed.
Yeah.
Because inside I was like, oh, my God, I'm dying. Please help. Somebody, please.
And so what happens, it's when you have pain mixed with guilt, it's going to equal anger.
Yep.
Your pain, your hurt, your guilt, your frustration, and now your trust is being challenged. During this time, I mean, how did you handle this whole breach of trust? And what family member finally stepped up to be completely honest with you about what happened?
Well, if you talk about breach of trust, I think the breach of trust for me was not really knowing. But then the other half of nobody told me, like, did you guys think it would hurt me more if you told me the truth? Like, I'm hurt. And so one day I called my aunt and I'm just like, look, can you tell me what happened? Like, I think my dad was on the down low. I think I put that together, but can you tell me exactly what happened? And so at 25, I'm on the phone in tears like, oh, that makes sense. Oh, you know, and so it took that for me to say, okay, now I finally really know what happened. So I felt alone a lot. I felt like no one knew what this was. No one knew how to help me, and no one knew my heartbeat. And how could they know? Because this was my life, not theirs. They watched it on the sideline, but I was in the house. I lived it. I knew things that they didn't know. And so, you know, I had to allow God just to purge all of that out of me, because I was mean. I would have an attitude. I won't forget one time my mom, she asked me to wash her hair. And I love to do stuff for people, but again, I was in my mean mode. And so I'm like, okay, mama, I'm gonna wash your hair, da da da. So I'm washing her hair, and as I'm shampooing, it falls out.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, Mom, I'm rinsing your hair and it's coming out. And I think I just like dropped.
That in itself was kind of traumatic.
Yeah,
though, right?
And just went in the room and started crying, because in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, I touched my mom. This, she's dying again. You know what I'm saying? It's that whole thing of, oh, when I touch this, it's going to die. And so I remember just sitting there like, oh my God, like this is just horrible. Like, and I'm like, Mom, I'm so sorry. I don't know what I did. I think I shampooed it right. You know, and she's like, well, I do have cancer on top of the AIDS, so I'm taking chemotherapy for that. And I'm like,
So you accepted some of the responsibility as a child for what your parents went through?
I did, because when I moved down here, what I would hear a lot was, you know, if your mom just wasn't with that man, we told her not to marry him. But in my mind, I'm thinking, well, if she wasn't with him, then I wouldn't be here. So basically what you're saying is you don't want me here either. And I'm sure that they didn't mean it that way. But when you say that to a child, when you say things like, oh, well, if she just would have told, you know, if she just would have did what I told her to do, I told her to wait. I told her to learn more about that man. And you have the child that's from that man right there. It's like a slap in the face. Like, okay, so what are you saying about me? Like, that's my daddy. When you lose both your mom and your dad and you're an only child, on top of that, it's almost like my world is not here anymore. I went through that phase where I wanted to die. Maybe the first 5 years after I lost my mom, it was heavy. Like, okay, I just want to be with them. I don't want to be here. I want to go home. I want to be with my mom and dad. They know me. They love me. They know who I am. And it's not that the folks that I was around didn't love me, but it's not the same.
Welcome back. We talked about the fact that these type of family secrets, they cause division. How have you dealt with that? The temptation to say, you know, you guys knew and you didn't tell me and all the things that I had to go through. So I'm going to take all of you guys and put you on this side. And then I'll create my own little team on this side. Did that happen? And if it did, what led to the reconciliation?
I think that I did have a wall for a long time. And it was actually something that you preached a couple years ago. You said something along the lines of, sometimes we do the things we do because we just don't know. Mm-hmm. And so when I put myself in their shoes, they didn't know how to deal with that. I mean, who knows how to deal with that situation, especially when there's a child involved? And so when I put myself in their shoes, I'm like, well, I probably would have handled it that way too, because I don't know how to deal with that. And I think for them, they tried to deal with it the best way that they could, which was to preserve the name of my mom. You know, they didn't want a lot of people to know that's what she had, you know, because she was the one who went to school. She was the one who was in the church, played the piano in tongues, sang in tongues, I mean, spirit-filled. You know, she was the one that did it all right. And now you have this right situation that just went completely wrong, and now she's not here anymore.
So did you have to entertain the question, why do bad things happen to good people?
I did. And one of the things that I found was that we all have a choice. And I had to look at all the times when I tried to make a bad choice, and God was like, you can't go that way. But I still tried to make that choice. And when you try to make a choice, you don't know that road that you're going to go down. You're trying to make a choice. She's like, oh, this feels good. You know, remember I tried to smoke one time. I was at Six Flags and saw this guy. I was like, can I have a cigarette? It's crazy. And he gave me a cigarette and I took one puff. Let me tell you, I got so sick. I had flu symptoms. I'm in the bed like, oh, what's going on? I was at a friend's house. They're like, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't know. I think I ate something, but I knew what it was. God was like, no. I remember I tried to get into the wrong group of friends. They just didn't like me, just didn't fit in. I'm really trying. I'm trying to cuss. Can't cuss at all. I'm trying to beat people up. I tried the bad girl thing. God cut that off. Didn't work. Then I was like, you know what? I'm going to just go out. I'm going to just have sex. I'm going to do it with everybody. God shut that down real quick. I mean, the guy would be like, you know what? There's just something about you. And I just really feel like we don't need to do this. And I'd be like, what? He's like, no, I'm good. I'm about to go. I'm like, so I tried. I tried to do all the bad stuff, you know, that I could. And God was just like, redirect. Nope. That's not my plan for your life. Just even along the lines of, I actually met this dude and we were talking and he was like, you know, God has really been dealing with me. And I'm like, what about marriage? And he's like, no, I need to tell you that I have HIV. And I said, oh, Lord Jesus. And this is when I was like super religious, like, Lord, whatever it is that you have for my life, you know, that whole thing. And I'm like, well, we gonna make it, you know, not thinking. And finally, my pastors at that church were like, Alicia, you're not graced for that. It's like, God would never do that to you again, you know, and they had to sit me down. And so it's just like things like that. Like, there were a lot of roads that I could have got off on the wrong road. I'll never forget, this was this guy. He was really trying to, like, pursue me. He was like, yeah, I want the wife, the children. And since my name starts with an A, he butt-dialed me, right? You know how, like, you don't mean to call somebody. Guess what's on the voice message? Him and another dude.
Wow.
It's like a 3-minute message. And so I'm sitting there like, oh, so-and-so called me.
Wow. So that same, in a sense, that same kind of situation
happened several times in my life.
Has tried to pursue you to repeat that same kind of curse, and God would not let
it happen.
Wow. You know, the devil doesn't have a whole lot of creative ways to try to take us down. What he does is he takes a file and he wants to use that same file. And a couple of powerful things you said, you know, we have a choice. We are free moral agents.
Yeah.
We have a right to choose. Did you ever find yourself getting involved in drugs or something to try? I mean, how did you cope with this? I mean, in most traumatic situations like this, you find that most people are desperate to locate some type of way to cope with this.
Yeah.
And there's got to be something. What did you choose?
My choice was, and this is going to sound really crazy, but when I was a little girl, I told God, God, I don't know what I did, but if I can just help someone not to hurt like this,
that's so powerful,
then I feel like I have done my job. And so my defense was loving people, helping people, doing all that I could, trying to serve in whatever way I could. Like, I just went into that because I felt like I had to work, you know, to show God, like, God, I'm good. I don't know why all this stuff is happening, but, you know, I'm just going to bless these people, because if they hurt like I hurt, this hurt is crazy. Like, this hurt is like, you can't even have words to describe it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's like, if I can help somebody not hurt like this, then yeah, my life, it means something. And I remember just crying out to God, just saying, God, just use me in that way, because this hurts. Like, this is painful.
You know, just to hear this, it just really makes me appreciate the way that God expressed his love to you. This would not be the normal reaction to all the things that you've gone through. And yet somehow the hand of God was on your life to protect you so that this would not destroy you.
Yes.
And so in a sense, what was released to try to destroy you, would I be correct in saying made you stronger somehow?
It did.
Because it did. God's expressing his love. I'm sitting up here thinking, you know, what? And what you do is you choose a Bible principle that says we ought to exalt somebody greater than ourselves. You choose to lay hold of something that Jesus did on the cross while he is suffering on the cross. And when I hear this from you, the only word that comes to mind is extraordinary. Wow. And you are an extraordinary woman.
Wow.
And the grace of God to be over your life, that you're not in a psychiatric institute.
Yes.
That you're not on the street prostituting and selling yourself. That you're not on the street prostituting and selling yourself. That you're not addicted to drugs.
Yes.
That's the power
of God.
Of God's grace. Yes. I congratulate you. I just, you know, and I'm sure, you know, I'm sure that some would ask, you know, well, how did you do it? And you respond, it was God's grace and his love for me. And we say, yeah, I know that. But because, you know, people see that as, you know, kind of a cliche. Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, if it were not for God's grace and the hand of the Lord on my life, I don't even want to know where I would be. Because
definitely would not be right here.
Yeah. There's a lot of controversy surrounding how to reveal certain family secrets, especially to children. Some think that, you know, it would probably be a good idea to have a professional around if the kid's not old enough, or to evaluate whether or not the kid is mature enough to be able to handle the information and would they understand it. And I can see the concern there. But the objective is to achieve wholeness, that by knowing some things that you obviously wondered about, and I believe somewhere along the line, just people just kind of have this thought, or they'll reflect back and say, you know, I thought about that at one time, or that came across my mind. Once you begin to get the details and you got the whole story, has it presented some sense of wholeness to your life?
Yes, because I was finally within a place where I could say, this is my life story, and I'm not going to hide about it. My family didn't want to talk about it, but they didn't know how much that hurt me. Because here I was, I came out of this, but no one wants to talk about it. No one wants to, you know, we all want to pretend like it just didn't happen. And that hurt more because I'm like, so y'all going to act like my mama just didn't die? You know, are y'all going to act like my dad? Like, I love my dad regardless of what he did. I loved him and I forgave him for what he did, but he was still my dad. So when you decide to talk about my dad, you really trying to talk about me too, because I am his and I look just like him. And so I really just kind of had to get to a point where I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to give this to God, and I'm going to have to allow God to show me how to heal, you know, and God is so good, because when it says that the Holy Spirit is a counselor, the Holy Spirit is a counselor, and God will literally walk me through how to get free in like moments of my life. There would be some nights and I would be up and I would be like, God, I can't sleep. You know, I don't know why. He's like, okay, today I want you to deal with this. And I would just cry it out, and then I would get in the Word. I'm like, well, guys, you said that you're here and da-da-da-da, so I'm just going to, like, release this. And that happened maybe over a period of, like, 5 years where God would just be like, okay, now we're going to deal with this. Now we're going to deal with this. Now we're going to deal with, you know, the fact that, you know, your dad, he made this choice. Part for me that really allowed me to heal the most was knowing that they wrote and produced songs, and knowing that I have those songs. And so one day I was in the car and I was listening to this song that my dad wrote. And I'm just sitting there because I was just having a moment like, oh man, I really miss them, you know, et cetera. And I'm sitting in the car and I'm listening to the words, and the words went along the lines of, Lord, I made this choice. I know I shouldn't have, but I literally feel like I can't stop.
What you heard was more revelation. Of that whole situation that took place.
And I really believe that my dad, he wasn't trying to hurt us. He was just so into something that he didn't know how to get out of. And it's like, when you look at it like that, how can you hold a grudge? How can you say, oh, da da da? Because it's so simplistic to the point where the same thing can happen with me or you.
Well, you don't, you can't do better unless you know better.
Exactly.
And that's why we're preaching the gospel of grace, you know.
Which is changing the world.
With your hair on fire, you know what I mean? Because I realize that if you don't know better,
how
are you going to do better? And, you know, was it hard to turn it over to God when you had to make that decision? Because, you know, you're right. There are people, I've counseled people who years have gone by and they still can't seem to figure out how to get out of this. Their lives are being governed by those hurts and those negative emotions, and it's so unfortunate because they keep putting themselves in the center of it, and then they become the victims and the target of all that comes from being in the center of it, versus what you decided to do is to step out of the center of it, exalt and consider somebody else other than yourself, and you enabled the healing power of God to begin to work in your life. Do you think people can really, really get healed the way they really want to without Jesus?
No, I don't.
And I know that's a tough question now because, you know, I'm sure people say, well, yeah, of course, we can take medicine, we can go to therapy, we can do all those things. But I believe that Jesus is enough.
He's more than enough.
To do what needs to be done. And that's what you've come to know, right?
Mm-hmm. And then, too, you know, you have to tell the truth.
Yeah.
The devil can't hold something if you already put it out there. And for me, that's what made me get free. Hey, I'm Alicia. My parents died from AIDS. Yeah. My dad and he had an undercover relationship with a priest. Hi, how you doing? Nice to meet you. I'm blessed.
Was that rough for you to do?
At first, it was.
And then it was freeing when you finally did it?
At first, it was hard because my family was like, girl, don't be telling all our business.
So let the cycle go over again.
Exactly.
They kept the family secret.
Exactly.
Now, you learn how to keep
and
the
I
family
was like,
secret
look,
as well.
I don't know what's going on, but I got to get out of this. Like this has to stop. You know, this has to end here. And so I really believe that, okay, guys, you gave me this story. And there's something that you want me to do with this story. And if I keep it to myself, who's going to get healed?
Wow.
Whose life is going to be changed?
I tell you, a lot of lives are being changed right now.
That's awesome.
And there are people that are getting healed right now. Those who have been impacted by family secrets, and maybe those who are holding those family secrets. I just want you to know, just like she said, it's time to get real. It's time to get honest. And somebody says, well, I can't do that. Well, I understand you can't do it without Christ.
Yeah.
But with Christ, with Jesus on your side, he wants to set you free and make you happy.
And take away the shame.
Because that's what the enemy uses.
He sure does.
To destroy people's lives. Shame. But you know what? The power of grace that we have through the blood of Jesus, it is remove the shame,
mm-hmm.
the condemnation,
yep.
the guilt, all of those things that you try to handle, you know, through the flesh and through the means that the world has provided for you. You know, I still believe there are things in our life that only Jesus can take care of.
Yeah, and only he can fix.
This is what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that you allowed God to father you and you experienced something that I refer to as the father heart of God. And I believe God wants to father you.
Amen.
Those of you who are watching this broadcast right now, I believe God wants to father you. You know, we can make excuses. We can hold on to hurts. We can hold on to pain. We can justify our negative emotions and all of our guilt.
Yep.
Or, like you said, we have a choice. Or we can choose to say, you know what? This is how they used to say it when in my Baptist church. Maybe it's time for you to let go and let God. Let God be your father. Let God love you. Let God teach you and train you. You know, the Holy Spirit can still mm-hmm. teach and train.
He does, and he speaks very loudly.
Yeah, and there are people who have experienced similar situations, but they're not you right now. And I'm sure as they watch this program today, they may be looking and saying, I want to be like her. And that joy is your strength. And joy is not happiness, just happiness. Joy comes because of what you know. So what is it, Alicia, that you know that's produced the joy of the Lord in your life?
I know that God loves me.
Yeah.
And I know that despite whatever it looks like, I know he had his hand on me because if I just think of where I think I should have been, it's not even close to where I am right now. So I'm like, God, you are real. You love me. And your grace is so amazing mm-hmm. that when I wanted to go the wrong way, you were like, nope. And I know that prayer works because I believe that my mother, I know that she prayed for God's hand to be on my life because she knew that she wasn't going to be there.
I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look at this camera here. And there's somebody on the other side who is not where you are right now. I want you to take just a few minutes and minister to them and encourage them that life doesn't have to remain sad, that they can get up and there is life in Christ Jesus.
Okay. Well, first thing you need to know is that God loves you. There is no one else in this world that God created to be like you. And it doesn't matter what you went through. It doesn't matter what you've lost. It doesn't matter what you did. I don't even care if it was your own fault. It doesn't matter. If you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, the same way that He transformed me and He took my depression and my sadness and my sorrow and He turned it around and He gave me joy, and I don't even look like the tears I've cried. I don't even look like the pain that I've walked through. He is not a respecter of persons. He will transform your life and He will change your life and He will breathe new life into you. And so wherever you are today, I don't care if you want to give up. I don't care if you're in debt. I don't care if you feel like your needs aren't met. I don't care what it looks like. If you just allow Jesus to be the reigning ruler in your life, when people see me, I don't want them to see Alicia. I want them to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. And when you make that decision, God can transform. He can use you. He can take all, like, your fears, your faults, everything that you screwed up in. He can turn around and give you a story and give you a message to transform and change this world.
Wow. You know, I want to share this with you. This is a grace covenant, and it's something to just remind you of the time that you spent here with us today. And that was a powerful word you just ministered. Very, very powerful.
Amen.
I call it a grace covenant, and it's presented on this day to Alicia Watson. And it says, I, Alicia Watson, accept this grace covenant provided to me by Creflo Dollar and agree with the following statement. I believe Jesus loves me and nothing will ever change that. I believe that grace in the person of Jesus Christ has already provided everything I will ever need to have a healthy, fulfilling, and prosperous life. I believe everything in my past is in my past. Jesus has chosen not to remember it, and neither will I. I will daily declare that I am the righteousness of God. I will daily live by the belief of understanding grace and empowering change to better equip myself for success and to better serve those individuals around me. And I will daily flood my life with the word of God and the praises of his saints. I signed it, and I'd like for you to take the opportunity to sign right above the righteousness of God, because that's who you are.
Amen. Look, I'm happy to sign this.
Yeah. Yeah. What a powerful story. You know, it just goes to show you that you never know what people are really dealing with in their lives. Everybody is fighting some sort of battle. You know, just because you see someone every Sunday in church or they have a smile on their face, that doesn't mean they're not dealing with some kind of overwhelming hurt or problem in their lives. You might even be that person. That person who smiles in public but who's hurting deeply in private. But I'm here today to tell you to emerge from the dark shadows of those secrets and start living in truth. Log on to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram pages. Ask us questions, share your own story, and stay connected. You can watch today's entire program as well as all of our other shows on yourworldwithcreflo.com. And join us next week for another special peek into your world.